program is furnished by its producer, host, and sponsors.
Live in the studios, and you're listening to Health in 30 on WRCR AM 1300 Radio Rockland. And as always, it's streaming live at WRCR.com. I'm your host, registered nurse Barbara Ficarra. Health in 30 brings you 30 minutes of the latest health and medical news and information with leading guest medical and health experts. If you haven't visited the healthin30.com website, check it out. Go to healthin30.com. That's healthin30.com. You can listen to audio, sign up for free newsletters, get all of the information from all of the shows, and more. Don't forget to check it out. Go to healthin30.com. If you have any comments or questions, email us. Pat Baird, registered dietitian, award-winning author, and nutrition expert, will be here to talk about living a heart-healthy lifestyle. Pat has appeared on the Health Network, CNN, and CBS Morning Show. And now Pat will join Health in 30 as one of its experts. And we'll talk about the National Women's Heart Day Health Fair, which is on February 16th at Madison Square Garden from 7:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. It will offer free 15-minute heart screenings to measure women's cholesterol, blood glucose levels, and body mass index. All this information will be on the healthin30.com website. Health in 30 is always talking about education and prevention, and here is an opportunity for women to take preventative measures and get checked out for free. Don't forget to go to healthin30.com and email us. If there's a topic you want to know more about, let us know. Heart disease is the number one killer of women, and the symptoms of a heart attack in women can often be different than men. Women can experience back pain, neck and jaw pain, nausea, vomiting, fatigue, and shortness of breath. It's important for you to take charge of your health. Know your cholesterol, the total, the good, the bad, and your triglycerides. Get your blood pressure checked. Keep moving. The magic number is 30. Studies show 30 minutes of exercise a day is vital. Eat healthy, lean proteins, high fiber, fresh fruits and vegetables, and whole grains. Make sure you read not only the labels, but the ingredients. Always take charge of your health, and always talk with your health care provider and ask questions. Call in today with any questions at 845-624-1300. And joining us now is Pat Baird. Hi, Pat. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi. My pleasure. Nice to be with you.
Great. Thanks. This is such an important topic, heart disease in women, and there's so many preventative measures that women can take. And as you being a registered dietitian, I just really want to delve into that area of nutrition so the listeners can really know what they need to do to stay healthy. Pat?
First of all, women need, in addition to knowing their lipid or their cholesterol numbers, they really need to know their weight. And I know that that sounds a little bit simplistic, but there's a lot of people who don't know how much they weigh because they've gained weight, they avoid scales, and they really don't know where they are. So it's important for everyone to know how much they do weigh, and then once they know that, they will be able to find out what their body mass index is by going to a number of different websites. And the body mass index is just a ratio of height to weight, but it's an indicator of where people are in terms of being normal, overweight, or obese. And that's the first place to start.
Okay. Now at the fair also, too, that they will be measuring that for the women.
Yes, they will.
Okay.
There are complete screenings. There are cholesterol screenings, BMI, body mass index screenings, blood pressure screenings, a health and family assessment, and then each participant gets to spend some time with a doctor who will review it, and all of this is free.
Right, yeah, that's really great. We could spend a little time, actually, at the end of the show, we'll really go into more detail with that. But for right now, let's really go into the nutritional aspects of what women or everyone actually should be eating for a heart-healthy diet.
Well, I think that the biggest focus right now is on omega-3 fatty acids. And we know that they are powerful antioxidants, and they also improve heart health. I think that a lot of listeners are aware that omega-3 fatty acids are found in seafood, especially the so-called fattier fish, like salmon and mackerel. But they should also remember that there are a lot of quote-unquote new sources of omega-3 fatty acids. For instance, there's a new heart-healthy orange juice that contains omega-3s. Many cereals and bars, snack bars, sometimes they're called a snack bar, sometimes they're called a meal replacement, have omega-3 fatty acids in them. So there's a variety of different ways to get them, and that's probably the biggest focus right now. We know that a diet that is rich in fruits, vegetables, and whole grains is also a very easy way to not only promote heart health, but also to lose and manage weight. Right. Probably one of the largest and most famous studies is the what we call the DASH study, or the DASH program has evolved from that. And that's the dietary approach to stop hypertension. And they found in those trials that when people ate primarily fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and ate less animal sources of protein, that even when they did not change their sodium intake dramatically, their hypertension did come down dramatically. So we're always focusing on trying to get people to eat more whole foods, foods that are less processed. Right. Generally, when foods are processed, generally but not always, they tend to be higher in sugar, fat, and sodium.
Right. I just want to back up a minute to the omega-3s for a second. I know the flaxseed actually has the omega-3s. Now, is there a certain amount of omega-3s that one should have in a day, or they can eat as much as they want?
They really should not eat as much as they want. There is not yet a set amount of omega-3s,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I am always a little bit hesitant to recommend supplements. I am a food-first dietitian. That's my training.
Right.
I'm an evidence-based trained dietitian.
Mm-hmm.
That means you show me the evidence. Show me the clinical trials. Show me the evidence, for instance, like in the DASH study, and then I'll give it some serious consideration. We really know that omega-3s make a difference. We do know that flax is a good source. I would recommend that people keep it to 2 teaspoons a day, because Americans often have the notion that if a little is good, a lot is better.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that really is not the case, number one. And number two, I think a lot of people feel that dietary supplements, whether they're vitamins, minerals, omega-3s, or herbs, that they are kind of harmless. And that's not always true.
Right.
So I recommend food first with flax, about 2 teaspoons. Flax is not something that you want to eat a lot of anyway. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do it is to get some flax seed from the health food store, have it ground, keep it in the freezer because it has a fairly high oil content and you don't want it to go rancid.
Mm-hmm.
You sprinkle it on your cereal, you put it in a casserole, and that's probably the best way to do it.
Now, what if somebody has the flaxseed, say the 2 teaspoons, and then they're putting it in the cereal that's already composed of the omega-3s, and then they're drinking orange juice on top of that is enriched with the omega-3s, is that, and then they
then
have
they
salmon, say, for lunch or dinner. Is that too much omega for
yeah,
one?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
You know, then they need to buy a different type of cereal,
okay,
or not have the ground flax, or have a different kind of orange juice, especially if it's women. They may really need orange juice that's fortified with calcium and vitamin D before they need an orange juice that's fortified with omega-3.
Right. Okay, so it's just eat, but don't overdo it. The omega-3s are good, but you don't want to have it in everything that you eat.
And that's true of everything.
Right. Okay. And then the fresh fruits and vegetables, are one better than another, or any type of fresh fruits and vegetables?
The guideline here is to eat by color. You want to eat lots of reds, greens, yellows, oranges, pinks, all a variety of color, because the color pigmentation is where different nutrients are found.
Okay.
And we also know that this new, relatively new classification called phytonutrients or plant nutrients, like the flavonoids, are often found in the color pigment. So my recommendation is that people eat by color.
Okay. The greens would be the green leafy vegetables, the spinach and...
Well, you want to have sweet potatoes and pumpkin and different color squashes, mm-hmm. zucchini and yellow squash and kale and collards and corn and carrots and celery. So that there's a variety of different in colors on your plate rather than having cauliflower and a potato.
Right, okay.
Have a sweet potato and some cauliflower.
And the best way probably to prepare is either eat it fresh or maybe even just roasted or grilled, just something.
Absolutely, right. Though, you know, I am a big fan of frozen vegetables.
Oh, okay.
The frozen vegetables often have a higher nutrient content. Water-soluble vitamins, that is the B vitamins and vitamin C, are easily broken down by light, by heat, and by acid, by different, there used to be a practice of cooking vegetables with a little bit of baking soda, but happily that's gone away. But oftentimes, if you figure that your broccoli is picked in the field, it gets 2 days to be wrapped or washed and shipped, another 2 days with the distributor, 2 or 3 days in the market, 2 days in your refrigerator before you get around to using it, that broccoli is already 8 days old.
Wow.
Now, if you buy frozen broccoli, most frozen vegetables are picked and literally taken from the field into a facility where they're washed and flash frozen.
Wow, and it's much easier, too, actually, frozen. I didn't even think of that.
It is. I keep those poly bags of different kinds of vegetables in my freezer all the time. So I travel a lot. So, for instance, if I make pasta, the way that I do it is I start the water boiling. I take a couple of handfuls of broccoli. I put them in a colander. I do not cook them. That's for me. And then when the pasta is done, I pour the boiling water and the pasta over the broccoli while I cook some chopped tomato in a little bit of olive oil. I put in some herbs, and I put the broccoli and the pasta back in the pot. And sometimes I'll add tofu if I've got leftover chicken. That goes in. If I've got cottage cheese sort of melts down a little bit if you want to cook. And the sauce then gets a creamy consistency. And there's dinner.
Wow, yeah.
So I've got a whole tomato and a couple of servings of broccoli, and all I had to do really was to cook the pasta.
Wow, there's dinner for everybody tonight, an easy recipe. Wow, that's easy and healthy.
Yes. I mean, roasting vegetables is wonderful, and especially in the summer.
Right.
It's really a lot of fun when farmers markets have a lot of different things to just take them right home from the farmer's market, wash them, cut them, you know, and toss them with a little bit of olive oil in a 425 or 450 degree. You know, fish should be at the top of the menu for heart health. You want to be having fish at least twice a week.
What kind? What's the best kind to eat?
Well, the ones that are highest in the omega-3s clearly are the fattier fishes, like I mentioned before.
Right, the salmon.
the salmon mm-hmm. and the mackerel. But remember, all fish, whether it's fillet of sole or whether it's salmon. And again, you want variety, just like you do in any other food category, whether it's cereals and grains or protein. You want to have different kinds of seafood, although you want to try for poultry that has less fat to have it without the skin. That means having white meat rather than dark meat. But it doesn't mean that you have to stop eating dark meat. You may want to eat less of it. And try having other sources of protein, like tofu or beans and lentils and peas, the hard peas, the dried peas. I don't mean the frozen peas in this particular case. And they are all good sources of protein. One egg is 1 ounce of meat. 2 tablespoons of butter is 1 ounce of meat. 1/2 cup of cooked beans is 1 ounce of protein. And so you want to switch it off from time to time. Try making chili with beans and tofu, or maybe with turkey for a change. And leave your red meat for another night when you can choose a very lean cut, like flank steak, and have your red meat that way and start to have a vegetarian chili instead.
Now, chicken is a good alternative, right, for a lean protein?
Yes, it is. It's an excellent source. Whole grains are very important for heart health. They contribute fiber. They contribute more B vitamins as the grain is held intact. So that's something that's very important. There is no reason to eliminate dairy products for women, either for heart health, because they can choose low-fat or fat-free dairy products. And studies bear out that most people are really not lactose intolerant, but if they have smaller amounts of milk and have it with another food so that it's not consumed on an empty stomach, they're far less likely to experience any problems, number one.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And number two, there is a whole line of lactose-free milks and cottage cheeses. So everybody, virtually, unless they have a milk allergy or unless they are severely lactose intolerant, but most people should be able to enjoy the benefits.
Right. Now, would yogurt be a good alternative on the list for the dairy?
Yogurt's an excellent alternative because it contains the probiotics, those bacteria that actually pre-digest the lactose that can give people a problem.
Right.
So, again, that's a very good point and a very good reminder that if people are severely lactose intolerant, chances are they'll be able to eat yogurt.
What would be some good examples of the whole grains? What I mean, I know you could get bread, and I know it's very important actually to read the label to make sure, or the ingredients actually, to make sure it says whole wheat flour in there.
Well, whole wheat flour doesn't necessarily mean that it's a whole grain flour.
Oh, okay.
Whole wheat flour only means that it is a little bit less refined. Unless it says whole grain flour. But to answer your questions, whole grains are items like barley and oats and millet and bulgur. That's the grain that's used in tabbouleh.
Okay.
Barley is another grain that is fabulous in soups and salads and casseroles. So there are a number of different whole grains that people can use. Quinoa is another.
Okay.
Quinoa is actually an ancient grain. It almost has the texture of bulgur, and it also has a nutty flavor. Quinoa is unusual because it has a much higher protein content than any of the other whole grains. So that's a good one, and it's spelled Q-U-I-N-O-A, and it's pronounced Q quinoa.
And how do you prepare it? Is it just...
You can prepare it like a side dish as rice and, and put in some herbs. You can prepare it as a cereal, as a nice warm breakfast. You can make a salad out of it and put in some grated carrot and chopped celery and some herbs and tomato a little bit of vinegar and oil. You can use it in casseroles. There's lots of different ways.
Can you just go back a second to the whole grain about and the whole wheat flour? Because that's a little bit tricky, because I think there's a lot of labels or ingredients that say the whole wheat flour. So you're thinking that you're actually getting something good, and is that not good for you then, if it says whole wheat flour?
Well, it means that you're not getting the whole grain.
Right,
not a question of good or bad.
Okay.
But if you've had, say, whole wheat turkey sandwich for lunch, and that morning for breakfast you had oatmeal, okay, you've had probably two servings.
Okay.
Because a serving, single serving of oatmeal is small, and I would assume that most people are really eating two servings or at least a serving and a half. And so you have already had some. So if it's traditional whole wheat bread as we know it, it doesn't contain the whole entire grain. It means that it's refined in such a way that it hasn't gone to the point that white flour has, but most of the whole grain has been stripped away, and then a little bit of molasses or some kind of food coloring is added to the dough to make it a darker color.
So if you had the choice, though, between whole grain or whole wheat flour, you would look for the grain.
Correct.
Okay. We actually have a caller on the line. Hi, you're on WRCR Health and 30.
Hi, I was just wondering, I have the King Arthur all-natural traditional whole wheat flour, and the ingredients say 100% hard red wheat flour contains wheat. Is that not as good as the, like the mixture, the whole grain?
It depends on how they are refining that. And I'll tell you why I have some hesitation. There is a new flour that's on the market that is coming from Conagra, and it looks, feels, and tastes like a white flour.
I guess I heard of
that. It actually contains whole grains. Right now, it's only available in commercial use. So if you go into the supermarket and you buy a frozen pizza that says whole grain crust, that's the reason why they're using that particular kind of flour. I know that this is a long way away from your original question, but I would go on King Arthur's website and see if they have a whole grain flour.
Okay.
My intuition is telling me that this is less refined than most other whole wheat flours, but I don't know that it's a whole grain.
Right, so whole grain...
Honestly, I don't know the answer to that.
Right, so whole grain is better than whole, like 100% whole wheat.
Yes. But, you know, I don't want to give the wrong impression, because people like to classify foods according to good and bad, and that doesn't exist in my vocabulary.
I like a balance. You have to have moderation.
You really do. And, you know, if you've had a whole grain cereal for breakfast, and you're, I'm very familiar with the King Arthur line of products, and I think they do great stuff. And I think that their whole wheat flour is clearly above and beyond. I think it's also unbleached, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Is better than one of the commercial. But to say that, you know, whole grains are where you get the maximum benefit, it doesn't then put other things aside.
Right,
you know
I see what you're saying. It makes a great pizza, but I'll tell you, it doesn't make good whole wheat cookies. I tried it on the cookie recipe, and It's okay. But.
Yeah, you know, often what you really have to do with whole wheat flour is if you have to use a little bit of white flour.
Right.
And you have to play around with the proportions.
Exactly.
And in that cookie recipe, you might actually be able to use two-thirds whole wheat and one-third white flour.
I did that once before, and it came out very good. But I said, let me try the separate whole wheat.
Sure.
And I didn't like the... It was okay, the whole wheat, but I'm going to try the blend next time. It was much better.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of times these are just habits that we have, you know, and it's just a question of changing over. We're accustomed to a certain mouthfeel. And, you know, chances are if the other flavors, if there was enough cinnamon and nutmeg and maybe raisins or whatever, ginger, whatever else is in your recipe, perhaps if you bump that up a little bit, you may get enough flavor that, you know, after the first couple of batches, you're going to come to enjoy the new texture.
It's actually rolled in nutmeg and cinnamon and a little bit of sugar.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I thought.
Thanks for calling.
You're
welcome. I don't mean to cut you off, but we just have a couple minutes left. Pat, I just want you to just quickly talk about the health fair at Madison Square Garden just for a minute or two. Oh, we just lost Pat. Actually, the health fair, again, it's a free 15-minute screening. It's in Madison Square Garden, and it's on February 16th. And they'll be doing free blood pressure screenings, cholesterol, your body mass index. And that's from 7:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And it's sponsored by Sister to Sister. You could check out their website, sistertosister.org. And the Women's Heart, there's another website, Women's Heart, heartday.org. And also, I'll have all the information actually on healthin30.com. Where Blaze is actually trying to get Pat back on the phone. Is Pat, are you there?
I am.
I'm sorry about that. We cut you off.
That's fine.
Do you have a minute just to quickly talk about the health fair?
I do.
Oh,
I do.
Thanks.
I really want people to mark their calendars for February 16th and come down to Madison Square Garden. You know, this is really, really important, number one, and it's unique because these events go beyond awareness. You know, today was Red Dress Day, or the Go
right,
Red campaign,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And which is a wonderful campaign that raises awareness. But National Women's Heart Day really goes beyond that. There's screenings. There's a free health fair where you can go around to different booths and get information. Mm-hmm. There are cooking demonstrations. There are speakers. It's really, really a wonderful event, and I think it's important for listeners to know that 82% of heart disease is preventable, and, you know, come down, get a free screening. We're going to have healthcare professionals from the tri-state area. Greenwich Hospital is getting an award for it. They have a superb cardiac care center. We're going to have speakers.
Right.
And everything is free.
Oh, that's great. Pat, I don't mean to cut you off. Thank you so very much for joining us today. I'll actually have all the information on the website. Thanks so very much, Pat. Don't forget to check out healthin30.com and email us. If there's a topic you want to know more about, let us know. Thanks for listening. I'm Barbara Ficarra for Health in 30. And next week, join us, February 9th, Dr. Ella Alker, a board-certified physician, an ER physician, will talk about travel precautions and what to do in an emergency while traveling. And just a couple of announcements from NAMI Familia, Rockland's Voice on Mental Illness. Starting on February 17th, there will be a 12-week course for families and friends with serious mental illness. Call 845-359-8787 for more info. And on February 21st, NAMI Familia presents Estate Planning for Your Future Needs. What will happen when your family member in the event of... What will happen to your family member in the event of your death or disability? Call 845-359-8787 for more info. And on February 13th, there's a legislative conference in Albany. Again, call 845-359-8787 for more info. That wraps it up for today. I'm Barbara Ficarra for Health in 30. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week.
AM 1300, WRCR, Spring Valley.
USA Radio Network News, Dennis Martin reporting. Storm cleanup is underway in central Florida, where an estimated 500 buildings covering a span of more than 20 miles have been damaged or destroyed by severe storms. FEMA spokeswoman Alexandra Kieran says the agency has hundreds working in the area and is bringing in more.
We need to first look at what comes back with the damage assessments and what kind of resources are going to be required. We'll need to have that information before we can go any further.
Florida Senator Bill Nelson says damage estimates will easily reach into the tens of millions of dollars.
FEMA didn't have its act together. That was in 2004. In 2005, the whole world knows what happened there. Katrina. FEMA is getting its act together. They cleaned out all the political dead wood. They put in some professionals.
The death toll from the storms in Florida is up to 19. It may rise. Florida's governor says he's requested federal emergency assistance to deal with the devastation. According to reports attributed to unnamed officials in the Bush administration, President Bush will ask Congress for almost $100 billion for military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan this year, and then will request even more next year. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 20 points to 12,653. USA Radio Network News.
Have over $10,000 in credit card debt?
Are you tired of harassing phone calls and struggling to make ends meet?
You may qualify for a little-known program through Credit Answers. This program allows you to pay back only a small portion of the credit card debt you owe.
In fact, up to 60% of your credit card debt could completely be wiped clean. It's a proven program.
The best part is Credit Answers does all the work for you.
So grab all your credit card statements and call for a free, no-obligation consultation. The friendly counselors at Credit Answers will give you all the details.
Call 800-795-8169. 800-795-8169.
Remember, you need to have at least $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify and the desire to be free from it.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, please call us. 800-795-8169. Credit Answers.
Settle your debt. Get on with your life.
Call 800-795-8169. That's 800-795-8169.
According to a new report on climate change, there's no longer any doubt. Global warming is a scientific certainty.
A bleak 21-page report released by the Intergovernmental